a star on my car and one on my chest. A gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway. So watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Yes, highway patrol in studio this morning. It is another edition of Safety Talk here on KWHI. Craig Montana joined by Corporal Jimmy Morgan from the DPS, answering all your questions, keeping you safe on the highways and byways and backways of the great state of Texas. And Morgan, it's been a long time, but thanks for making time for us again today.
Well,
making time being the key word.
It's not like I didn't want to be here. I just had some things going. One was called a flood in Orange, Texas. Then I had some training and stuff to go to. So sorry I missed everybody, but I'm glad to be back. And I'm still not done yet, but I did find some time to come down and visit with y'all. So maybe there's a lot of questions today. I have some things written down, but maybe there's some questions out there.
I'm sure somebody got a question or two for you. And, you know, we're patient people around here. We'll give you time. We know that, you know, you're a little busy, so you can come around and see us whenever you can.
The trivia question today, sponsored by Country Boys Restaurant, I have a $10 certificate here, is what year did Don't Mess with Texas campaign start?
Ah, that's a good one.
Yes, thank you.
I like that.
Well, I like that you like it.
I remember that whenever I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was the singer? Was it he did all the singing?
I don't remember that good.
Well, I got his face. I should have threw that question in there too.
Yeah, who
was the singer that came out? Don't Mess with Texas. I have his face, and I'm thinking of a name, and I'll think of it as we go through the program. Well, anyway, yes, I was Orange County, Jasper, up through there. I didn't realize just how many rivers were between Houston and going out east.
Mm-hmm.
There's several, and with a lot of water. And they don't need no more rain right now, trust me. They got plenty of it. Plenty of water and everything. Spent some time out there serving as a PIO visiting with people. That's what's neat about this job that I have. I get to do a lot of traveling, and I get to go places I probably never wouldn't go unless I had this job. So it makes it kind of interesting and all that. But that's where I was on that. But far as the crashes across the state, I do not have an update. Fatality rate here in Texas. TxDOT has not did an updated posting yet, and I'm waiting to see that posting. They had a January posting, and that was the last posting they had.
Okay.
And I believe that was somewhere around 250 or somewhere, if I can remember right. But here we are fixing to start the month of April. It's a great time of year. Springtime, blue bonnets, warding, fishing, whatever kids are thinking about getting out of school. But so we got a lot going on. One of the things I was talking to Ed this morning that, you know, when I'm doing this job and I'm trying to answer questions, law questions, whatever question, one of the things, my main purpose of this job is try to decrease the number of accidents that we have across the state, and especially fatalities. And when I read articles such as I read last week, reference to three teenagers dying, and one of the contributing main factors was distraction in vehicle. At them ages, 17, 19, and 18, it's sad. So and then we lost a young life here yesterday. You know, these kids are just now just starting their future and stuff. So, I definitely want to try to do something to decrease that number, especially in our youth. And I try to get to them early to let them know some things are going on, whatever. But as parents and educators across the state, we've got to get to these kids and try. And you know what? Sometimes we're a bad example. I've seen I talk about the teenage, but I've seen plenty of adults going down the road on that cell phone and will not lay it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what is so important on that thing that you've got to answer it right there and right now. I just, But we're losing a lot of lives, and we're having a lot of accidents because of distracted driving and that cell phone being the number one reason. I don't know. Somebody asked me today, Troop, when do you think we're going to have a no texting law here in Texas completely? I don't have the answer to that. That'd be up to legislatures. Certainly they do go on stats and whatever. Right now, if you want to, depending how you feel about it, whatever, on any law, that's what you go to your legislature now. That way, when they go in session, they've already done their homework and they either agree with you or whatever. But don't wait till they get in session to try to go by and see them, because they're usually too busy at that period of time. So I would get to them early. So just a reminder on distracted driving. It's about 13% of our fatality rate the last 2 years. So,
wow.
So it's moving up, and it's taking, as far as a teenage driver, it's taking the place of impaired driving. So, again, we just need to get with these kids and remind them to stay off the phone. And adults, we need to be examples of that, because, like I say, I see them, other adults going down the road, certainly on these things. I mentioned about blue bonnets. Again, it's a great time of the year to take pictures. I see a lot of people taking pictures. Not a problem. Just a reminder. When you park that curb, vehicle, don't do it on a curb or a hill or whatever. Get down, get it a safe area. There's plenty of blue bonnets around to find you a spot somewhere where you don't have to do it on a really busy stretch of highway.
And of course, don't cross any fences, right?
I would say do not cross a fence. That would be considered trespassing.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me about a marking, blue pole markings one time. Or is it purple?
I have to go back. Purple.
Purple.
It's purple.
And that is a sign of do not trespass.
It's been around for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But not a lot of, I mean, it's still in there. You know, mm-hmm. some of them laws are old and whatever, and that's been, a long time. But it's still in there. So if you see, you don't see a barbed wire fence, but you see purple markings every so many feet, whatever, that's a sign of do not trespass. So, be respectful to your landowners and stuff like that. There is plenty of TxDOT traffic, land out there that they don't mind if you take pictures and stuff like that, as long as we do it in a safe manner.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want to remind people and make sure you check out the area and stuff. Before the kids go out there, a lot of snakes and fire ants going on around. We certainly don't want to see anybody get bit by one of them. So just a reminder, if you do that, just be safe about doing it. And no, I do not know of any law that prohibits you from picking that blue bonnet. I get asked that once a year, but I'm not aware of any law that says you can't pick a blue bonnet. So that will be fine. Just remember, we got to have something for next year. So
yeah.
Don't pick too many.
Yeah, we used to do that whenever I was a kid. The Easter nests.
Oh,
you ever hear
about
those?
Yeah,
Easter nests.
Yeah.
Indian paintbrushes and the blue bonnets make a little nest, and then Easter bunny would come through.
Right.
So, good thing we weren't breaking the law as a kid back then.
Fog has been a factor the last couple of mornings. I had an accident that fog was a contributing factor, and another contributing factor that we are researching whether or not one of the vehicles had their headlights on or not. So, as a reminder, if visibility is less than 1,000 feet, you are required by law to have your headlights on. When visibility, whether it be fog or whatever it may be. So make sure, some of these headlights come on automatically, some don't. Just make sure you, when in doubt, have them on. It's always best to be seen and to be seen out there, and so somebody doesn't pull out in front of you. So it's good to do that. And remind yourself, during the daytime, if you do have headlights and they do come on automatically, these are headlights. These are not the running lights. If they do come on, they do both have to work during the day if they're activated. Not required, but if they do come on, then they're both are required to work. And that's under the 571-108 standard. So just make sure all your lights are working, because you could get stopped if one of them is out. So moving right along here, no phone calls yet, no emails.
No, but if somebody does have a phone call or email, if you want to call and ask a question, Corporal Morgan, feel free, 979-836-9937. 836-9937 today, or our email address. I'm looking at that periodically again. Mail, mail at kwhi.com. Whatever questions you have, he'll give you an answer this morning.
Right. And let's see here. Again, this time of year, TxDOT is doing a lot of their work as the temperatures rise and mm-hmm. start laying the asphalt and all that good stuff. So remind yourself that you probably need to do some homework if you're going on some type of trip or whatever, or not sure. They do have a website where their construction areas is at, and we lose a little over 100 people a year in our construction zones and have over 15,000 crashes. So, again, paying attention. That's why they got the rumble strips in a row to kind of let you know there's probably a flagman ahead, and they need your eyes on the roadway and not looking down. So just a reminder for TxDOT, let's try to make their work zone safe.
Then we got a phone call here today. You have a question for Corbin Morgan today.
Yes, sir. I've got an 18-foot car hauler. It's an old trailer. It's 206 model. And the fenders, I took the fenders off, and I put mud flaps on the back of the trailer where it's going to keep rocks. Is that legal, or I'm not right?
Okay, are we talking dual tires, or what kind of tires are we talking about?
This is a single axle low bar with just single tires on it.
Okay. Well, you're not required to have mud flaps on that. Now, you took the fenders off, right?
Yes, sir.
Why did you do that?
I took it off because when I haul the cars and stuff, you can't open the doors on it,
Right.
And I put mud flaps so it wouldn't sling no rock, you know, nobody's windshield.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's and does it work?
Yes, sir, it works. Yeah. I ain't had no complaint, but, you know, somebody was telling me, you're going to get a ticket with this.
I'm not thinking ticket. I just I would have to look at it. But are you required to have fenders on trailers? And the answer to that is no, you're not.
Okay.
But manufacturers make them or design them a certain way to help from what you're talking about. And I don't see a problem with taking fenders off. I thought when you first was talking about fenders, you thought you were over with or something with your trailer, so I was kind of curious what you were doing with the.
No, sir, it's a factory built trailer.
Right.
I
don't see because you see trailers all the time. I was looking at trailers yesterday, and because I have a zero turn mower, I've been thinking about getting a trailer for, and you see trailers all the time without fenders. Some come with them, some don't. Whatever you, and certainly you can modify them what you want, but. I don't see a violation of all of that.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Now, I guess it would pass inspection, you know, if it didn't have
fenders
that stuff on there.
Fenders is not part of an inspection.
Okay.
When they do, now that you brought that up, that's a good point. You know, that's kind of the one sticker program. I'm going to go into that while we're sitting around that subject, is that when March started, pretty much all the exemptions that you have.
Because we're a year in now, aren't we?
Yes. They're out the door, unless mm-hmm. you have a two-year sticker. So now, just about any time you register a vehicle, that car is going to have to be inspected. You're going to have a VIR report with that inspection. And do we have a phone call?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Well, I'll stop right there. I'll come back to it.
Okay. Good morning. You have a question for Safety Talk today.
Yes, sir. I'm a concerned grandmother who has two teenage boys who insist on driving with one hand on the wheel instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
How do I make them stop doing that?
I don't know, because I've not been very successful with my son either. I think we all talk. We know what's best. Best practice. Is it a law? No. But is it best practice? Yes. Because you ever have to take evasive action. Ask them to watch a race car driver, see how many hands they have on the wheel. Because you just can't, it's hard to control with one hand that it's just not good practice. But I bet he has that cell phone in the other hand probably, or has something in there. But my son is now a senior in college, and he still does the one-handed thing. I don't know if you picked that up from me, but I try to keep two hands as much as I can, but you know, when you work in law enforcement, you got the other hand's doing something, you got whatever. But so, it is a bad habit that you see kids get into. But if they do ever have to take evasive action, it's hard for them to do that. And that may be part of the problem that we have when we see about or hear about vehicles that go off the roadway and they overcorrect is because they got one hand on the wheel versus two.
Yeah,
so, but I would do some more research on the pros and cons about one or two hands. But any driving school that you'll ever visit, or the Smith system, or anything out there, they will have a. It used to be 10 and 2, but now they're down to 9 and 3 on the hand positioning on the steering wheel. It's a little awkward, but you just kind of go back and forth, and hands stay on the wheel, and you should be able to make most turns without taking your hands off the wheel.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye.
Thank you. There we go. Yeah, you know, in all honesty, I'm guilty of that myself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I hardly ever use two hands, but, you know.
And you think that usually that, where's that hand at on the wheel? Oh, so you got it on top or you got it on the side?
On the top.
On top, yeah. But, yeah, it limits your controlling of the steering wheel when you just have one hand.
Mm-hmm.
They used to teach what they call shuffle steering, and they're not doing that so much more now, but I got pretty good at that shuffle steering with two hands,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps you from overcorrecting a lot when you do that.
Okay. We have another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question?
Yes. I'm concerned about the stop on right on red. You hardly see very many people stopping when they turn right on red anymore. Did they change that law?
No, sir. They sure hadn't.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, no, it's still
see
there.
A lot of people running them.
Well, yeah. What I normally see on that is just the old what they call a California stop.
The California roll, yeah.
Yeah, I told you that story about that police officer that stopped somebody for that, didn't? yeah, there was the difference between stop and slow down and almost stop is though the officer supposedly got his. A billy club out, and he started hitting old boy. He says, that guy says, well, you want me to slow down or you want me to stop? So one of the two. So that's the difference between the two. But, yeah, it is required by law to stop, look both ways, make sure you don't, you know, get to see what traffic's doing, and then pull out safely. But it is required to stop. So I see a lot of this hurry-up kind of looking while they're coming up to the intersection, and then they take off, they don't come to a complete stop. And he's right. I've seen quite a bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 577 and 30 and 36 loop is really bad.
Is that okay? I got you. I know where you're at. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they're turning coming toward the elementary school. They don't stop at that turn hardly at all.
Okay, I will write that down. And
all right.
I appreciate
thank
your
you.
Phone call this morning.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, you know, because you got to give, you know. Not yielding the right of way, but they've got a green light, so they've got the right of way already.
Well, what happens? You do not give your eyes, your brain time to access what your eyes are seeing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you hurry up and see, and then all of a sudden you pull out, and then you realize, oh yeah, there was somebody coming. So that's a bad, very bad habit to get into this momentary coming to a, like I say, not a complete stop, and then pulling out because mm-hmm. usually. You miss somebody and you're fixing to pull out and cause an accident.
Now, what is the definition of a complete stop, you know, by the rules, just to get clear that, clarify
well,
that.
It, well, you know.
I've been told that, you know, well, whenever your the tail end of your vehicle sits down, that's
I say
a complete
when
stop.
I say when the wheels quit moving.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
Wheels quit moving. And we need to talk about where that is. They have stop lines. They mm-hmm. have stop signs. And you see a lot of people coming up to an intersection at a pretty fast rate, and you're sitting there wondering if they're going to stop or not.
They
eventually stop, but you're fixing the same way.
But
if they pull out.
They're halfway in the intersection
yeah.
and they stop, though.
And so they may tell you they stop, but the violation they just did was failed to complete stop at a designated point.
Yeah,
so,
charging, I think.
Yeah, that's offense right mm-hmm. there. So, yeah, you're required to stop behind that white line in the roadway.
Mm-hmm. Now that's your whole vehicle, not just the tires behind it.
Right, it's supposed to be your whole vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we got another phone call. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk. Oh, no, I guess I was mistaken.
I think on these red light cameras and stuff that they're doing at these intersections, I'm not sure, but I heard somebody tell me one time that was another part of the law they were trying to enforce on that, because where they would send you a citation or administrative fee for not just going through an intersection on a red light is where people were actually coming to a stop at. because they can, well, I don't remember running a red light. Well, it's, so there's certain different laws you can enforce on an intersection. So just remindful of that.
Okay. Got an email question here. It says, what determines if a low boy or a gooseneck trailer needs to be inspected?
First of all, you got to determine what it's used for. If it's a farm trailer, there's you get an exemption on the farm trailer itself. So if it's not a farm trailer, then it's 4,500 over 4,500 pounds, then that trailer is going to have to be inspected.
And that doesn't matter if it's low boy, gooseneck, just that's any trailer.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully that's your question. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question for us?
Yep. I wanted to talk about trail rides on county roads.
Mm. Okay.
We've got several groups that have trail rides every week, 2 weeks, something like that. And, you know, they can have 1,000 people in the ride. And what is the law regarding ATVs, all the trailers that are pulled, stopping traffic on the road? You know, a lot of times they hold up traffic for until the whole ride goes by, which can be 30 minutes. Is that legal?
No. If I had a trail ride, first thing you talk about the ATV, you cannot be on a roadway with one of them things unless it's farm, municipality use, or law enforcement, period. So that's not farm. So they're off the road. You can take them off the road. If you have a horse pulling one of these wagons, you need a slow movement emblem on that. You do have access to the roadway. But I think people need to plan where they're actually doing these trail rides at. And you certainly wouldn't want to do one right down the middle of 290 or something like that. But I think when planning these trail rides, somebody needs to use some common sense and try to stay off main roadways with a lot of traffic. Number two is you have no authority to stop traffic or any of that. I would personally, if it's in the county, I would visit with your county sheriff and let him know what you're doing and get recommendations from him and see if he's going to maybe be able to assist you in that situation at an intersection or whatever it may be. But I would have law enforcement advise that and see if they can add some assistance to you.
Well, law enforcement has been out. They get called every time there's a trail ride, and they just, like, their hand, the answer we get is that their hands are tied. So I don't know what, you know, the next step to take. That's
their hands are tied at what part?
Well, with about doing anything with, you know, holding up traffic, you know, trashing up.
Well,
the road,
I mean, like I say, you can be on a, that's like being on the road with a bicycle. A law says you can be on the roadway. You know, you got to be close to the edge to practical. You're doing less than the speed limit. You can't really tell them to get off the road. I'm just asking them to pick roadways with less traffic where people can go around, and certainly not congest traffic and cause an accident.
So, but they can't stop traffic. They don't have the authority to stop traffic.
The only one that can stop traffic authority would be your law enforcement.
Okay.
You see this sometimes. It's kind of you'll see these wide loads come up, and these people do that stuff to try to get escort vehicles and stuff like that. They have their flashing yellow lights and stuff going on. Technically, they really don't have the authority to stop traffic and all that stuff. I think what everybody does is just try to understand what's going on, that they're just trying to get the wide load through, and everybody just kind of works with each other and get them loads through. And the escort vehicles are required to go with the load. But if an accident should happen in that situation, then law enforcement during an investigation would actually have to see what was actually going on at the time, if they actually had the authority to do what they were doing.
Well, like I said, just when you're holding up traffic, you know, people that live have to get past the ride, and they, you know, holds them up for 30 minutes or so. It frustrates people, you know.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's all about planning what roadway you're on. If you plan one of them things where they have an improved shoulder, where you're not on the main part of the roadway, that's usually a good road to plan one of these things on. But out in the country and stuff. But you know, I don't want to take that away. I think that's been going on in Texas for a long time. What I'm saying is when you do plan one of these things, just be smart about it and try to get law enforcement involved in it and see if they can assist in any way in planning roadways and where you're going to be. And they need to be at a certain intersection. They got the time to be there to help you through that or whatever. Then I think that's smart planning.
When there's over a certain number of people, are permits required on any type of functions?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, thanks for your help.
Sure. Thanks for the phone call.
Thanks for the phone call there. About 9:32, you want to take a break, you know,
sure.
Refresh your coffee, warm, something like that?
Yeah, Ed got some good coffee back.
Thank you. All right. While we do that, once again, let's get that trivia question in one more time.
Oh, yeah. Trivia question. The campaign, you know, Don't Mess with Texas, that campaign slogan was started in what year?
That's all we want to know. 979-836-9937 to give us that answer. And you can win, what was it again, $10 to...
Country Boys.
There we go. Want to win that. We'll be back with more safety talk coming up after this on KWHI.
Mike Hopkins, your regional Budweiser distributor, hopes you'll join them in honoring the brave men and women of the armed forces for their unwavering courage, service, and sacrifice for the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. Mike Hopkins Distributing salutes the troops for their commitment, prays for their safety, and sends heartfelt thanks to the military for their continued service. Mike Hopkins Distributing, your regional Budweiser distributor.
Finding the right insurance agent can be tricky. You want someone who'll give you good service at a good price and someone you can trust. John Breeden, your local State Farm insurance agent, is the someone you're looking for. John Breeden can get you the coverage you need with car, home, health, and life insurance from State Farm Insurance, and all at a price you can live with. See State Farm agent John Breeden at 2006 South Day in Brenham for State Farm Good Neighbor Service. John Breeden at State Farm salutes the troops. God bless our military and watch over them always.
Heart of Texas Special Replacement Female Sale will be held at Grossbeck Auction and Livestock Company, 2 miles east of Grossbeck on Highway 164, Saturday, April 2nd, beginning at noon. They'll have 1,400 head of quality replacement females, including over 550 pairs. Also bred cows and bred and open heifers. At this sale, you'll find certified F1s, true F1s, Brangets, Herefords, Brahmins, and other premium quality replacements. Plus, these females have all been screened to ensure that only the best quality commercial cattle will be offered. Cattle will be palpated and sold in uniformly sorted groups to fit any cattleman's needs. For more information, call Johnson Cattle Marketing at 903-599-2403 or Tom Sell at 817-291-5121. You can also find out more by visiting their website at johnsoncattlemarketing.com. Don't miss the Heart of Texas Special Replacement Female Sale Saturday, April 2nd at the Grossbeck Auction and Livestock Company in Grossbeck, Texas. Sale begins at noon.
Blinn College is proud to present the Pirates of Penzance as part of the inaugural Performing Arts Series at the O'Donnell. Come witness the rich sounds and energy of this classic musical, which brings vibrancy and a contemporary sense of humor to a modern audience. Showtime is 4 p.m. Sunday, April 10th at the W.W. O'Donnell Performing Arts Center on the Blinn campus in Brenham. Tickets are $30 and available online at blinn.edu/boxoffice or by calling 979-830-4024. Get your tickets today and enjoy this exuberant and musical masterpiece.
K&M Grocery, where you can fill up with gas, get groceries and snack items, have a cold drink with good friends after work, and maybe even shoot a game of pool or two. Everyone at K&M Grocery at the intersection of Highway 36 and FM 109 in Brenham takes this opportunity to salute the many men and women of the United States Armed Forces and encourages you to show your support too. Display your flag proudly, send a letter or care package, and remember them daily in your prayers. K&M Grocery, Highway 36 South in Brenham.
Los Cabos Mexican Grill has one-of-a-kind dining experience. Eat in their comfortable dining hall or enjoy the big-screen TV in their full-service bar. Having a party or meeting? Bring your guests or business associates to Los Cabos and use one of their spacious private dining rooms. They also offer catering delivered to your special event. Choose fajitas, steaks, chicken, or seafood entrees. View their full menu online at loscabosbrenham.com. Los Cabos Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, open at 11 a.m., 7 days a week, in Brenham on Highway 36 South, across from Walmart. Leroy Schrader Contractor Incorporated is your local supplier of natural building and landscape stone. Accent your landscape with patio flagstone, moss and waterfall rock, bed border stone, and boulders. Plus, they offer bulk garden and flower bed mix, topsoil, mulch, and compost. They also carry building stones for homes, fireplaces, and swimming pools, road material for driveways and septic rock. Leroy Schrader Contractor, 8051 Highway 36 North. Open weekday 7:30 till 5 until noon on Saturday. Call 836-6521 or 1-800-392-9784.
Welcome back. Safe Talk here on KWHI. Craig Montana being joined by Corporal Jimmy Morgan from the DPS here to answer any of your questions about being safe on the highways, the roadways, backways, maybe even driveways in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
We can help you with that. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
And if you have questions, give us a call, 979-836-9937, 836-9937, and... you can email us here, mail, M-A-I-L, at KWHI.com. And, Gordon Morgan, we had a winner.
Yes.
Of the trivia question today.
Yes, 1986. It's been 30 years.
30 years. I knew it started whenever I was alive, because I remember when it started up.
Now, she had, what, Lyle Lovett?
She said Lyle Lovett. And Lyle Lovett has done it.
Yeah.
I remember the song. But according
I don't know why I was thinking Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah.
No.
According to this, because
maybe I was thinking Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Hank's not from Texas. According to this, if this is right, what I'm pulling up here, it says it was Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh.
The first slogan premiered his first television in 86 featuring Stevie Ray Vaughan.
There you go.
At the 50th Annual Cotton Bowl, January 1st, 86.
Yeah, all right, I'm going to write that down.
So that's according to this. The slogan premiere, he's saying the eyes of Texas and added "Don't mess with Texas" at the end of the song. So I don't know.
Well, in saying this, the whole deal is this time of year, you'll start seeing a lot of cleanup before the grass and stuff starts getting mowed. We spend millions of dollars a year on trash cleanup in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at a deal the other day. There's actually, TxDOT has a spot on their website where you saw somebody, the trash was blowing out the back and whatever, you just didn't want to get confrontational with them or whatever it may be, which I agree with. But if you write, say, the license plate down, get a vehicle description, location, and time, and you go to their website and type that in, TxDOT will send them a letter to remind them that you've been observed with trash and stuff to secure your trash and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they will get a letter from TxDOT say to do that. Make sure you maintain your...
We got our eyes on you.
Yeah. Well, you know, you see it all the time. People throw plastic cups, styrofoam cups, whatever, and where do you think that stuff's going to go?
Right beside the road.
Yep.
So, and gets tore up whenever they...
The number one item found as far as littering on the roadway, some people don't even think it's a form of litter, is cigarettes. It has to do with cigarette butts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now...
Especially this time of year.
Now, the big thing about that, certainly it's green right now, but August gets here right here. Mm-hmm. You know, we get a lot of grass and whatever, and say TxDOT doesn't get a cutting in to whenever that is, then the cigarettes start flying out, then we start having a lot of grass fires and stuff. So
that's it.
Just a reminder, we can save some money if we didn't litter so much. But
you got a phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Yes, I got a question about an incident that happened to my daughter and son-in-law about 6 years ago in downtown Brenham. They got married, and they were leaving the wedding reception about 9 p.m., and they were, well, you know how all the people decorate a car at a wedding when they leave, you know, with the beer cans on the wire and all that.
Mm.
Well, they had that on the back of the truck and pulling these string of cans. And they were pulled over and issued a warning ticket for an illegal extension of the vehicle. Anybody ever heard of that?
Man, I have a better time swallowing this coffee than what you just got through saying. No, that is not a load. First of all, it's not a load. you know, you got to use common sense on some of this stuff. When you're talking about extension load, you're talking about things hanging like a 2x4, a ladder hanging out the back, or some kind of, you know, load or something like that. Cans, I thought you were going to say, well, the cans came separated from the car, you know, left in the roadway. You know, technically, yeah.
Opening containers.
You know, I wasn't going to open hope they'll dry by then. But anyway, common sense would say stop and pick them up, or somebody pick them up. No, that's not a form of illegal extension to the rear.
Yeah, because everybody that I've talked to, and you know, a word like that spreads fast.
Right.
And
tough wedding.
And you know, when that beer was talking, everybody was annoyed.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
And but anyway, that particular officer has lost lots of respect in his community because of that incident.
Right.
And
well, it's just stock good judgment.
Right. I think he should have gave them a formal apology for his tactic, to his stunt. You know, because, you know, I'm 62 years old, and ever since I was a kid, you know, I've seen cars dragging cans behind their cars
right
after a wedding.
Like I say, the only thing I thought you were going with this, cans same come separated. Whatever.
Right. I can realize
and
that.
That is a form of lettering. So sooner or later, the cans are have to go made detached and taken off the car or whatever, but now that you brought that up, how often do they stay on there? Do people?
Yeah.
If you do put cans, trust me, you need kind of know when they're going to come off.
Yeah.
I would do something with them. Don't be going from here to San Antonio with cans on the back of your car.
No, they were.
They're
going
to come off sooner or later.
Yeah, they were going about 5 blocks.
Okay. Well.
And they were pull over.
I'm sorry for that. There's a lot of laws on the books and stuff but I think common sense comes to play in a lot of things that we do, and that's also in law enforcement.
Maybe that's
why I stuck around so long.
Sir?
that's why I stuck around so long. I tend to have some common sense.
Yeah, and you know what? The officer's theory on that, he probably thought they were intoxicated and was going to pull them over. That's what I think is a probable cause to stop, I think.
Well.
But they were not intoxicated. They're teetotalers, and he barked up the wrong tree that time.
Well, no, I'm sorry for that. That's not a good stop.
No.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. All right, again, 979-836-9937 in the studio here, or mail, mail at kwhi.com. We got a couple of questions that came in here. One during the break, want to know about dimming your high beams.
Okay.
I was talking about if you're on a four-lane highway.
Right.
You know, you got two lanes here, two lanes there, center turn lane or median or whatever.
I would say if you're talking left turn lane, they probably need to be dimmed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking grass... depending how much grass we're talking about, it's really going to come down to the roadway. Because like 21 going in from Caldwell to Bryan, they have a lot of grass between both roadways. So you could get away with not even having to lower your high beams.
If you're on both, on the outside
lanes. Unless you're
lanes.
Following some member, you can get stopped for following somebody the same direction, coming up within 300 feet that you got your high beams on. But opposite car from the other way, I would say you would, in that situation, you would not have to lower your high beams. But it comes down to the roadway, and the way the law is on that is if you're blinding somebody and that can be proven, that then they would have to be lowered at that point. So it really comes down most times on just a left turn separation, you're probably going to have to lower your high beams. That's not enough space between the opposing roadway.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll answer somebody's question there.
All right.
Another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk.
Hey, Trooper Morgan. How are you?
Fine. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. Hey, I just had a follow-up question on the previous caller that called in on the trail rides.
Mm-hmm.
And was just wanting to check how the laws work on a county road with open containers.
Mm. They're no different.
Involving trail rides.
They're no different. I mean, we're talking motor vehicle, though.
Motor vehicle. Yeah. What about ATVs?
ATVs or ATVs, you can't have them on the roadway, period.
Okay.
Unless they get, or law enforcement, farm use, or the municipality, like meter reader or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the use of having them on the roadway.
What about being on a horse?
On a horse. Well, I think you can have an open container. You may get PI'd, but you're not going to get DWI.
Okay.
Maybe we ought to change that.
Can
you ride, get stopped for ride on a horse while intoxicated?
Horse is doing all the driving, isn't it?
Yeah, you just drop the reins. On a good horse, you just drop the reins. They're doing it. So, officer, I was not driving that horse. It was driving itself. Good mule do that. You know
mm-hmm.
that. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make – I'm not making fun of you. We're having a good time here. But in general, when we talk about open containers, they're actually talking about motor vehicles.
In many instances on some of those trail rides that you see on these county roads,
mm-hmm.
there's just as many vehicles and ATVs as there is horses and riders.
Right.
And I just didn't know how that was patrolled. If they patrol that to look for open containers or how the law worked with it. Just
I think any one of these events like this, what happens if law enforcement gets called because there's something going on, they get a complaint, and whatever, and they're going to handle what the complaint is. And if that complaint leads them to see if somebody's got an open container in the vehicle or whatever it may be, then they'll handle it at that time. I don't think it's something they drive up and start looking for or whatever. That's how most of somebody, we get a complaint, you know, and we go out there and investigate what's going on. And then at that point, they're going to see what's going on and apply the law if they can apply it. So that's basically how it's going to be handled.
All right. Well, I appreciate the information.
Sure. But I would do this for anybody that's doing a trail ride. Double check your laws and stuff to make sure what you're doing is permissible. Because now when you're getting parades and stuff and all that stuff, some of this stuff is allowed in parades events that you'll see, golf carts and whatever. So some of these events, you're allowed to do some of the stuff and be on the roadway if you're in these type of situations. But it's going down the road and not in one of these type of events, I would say more times than not, you're probably going to be in some type of violation.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Got another email question that came in here. With the ATVs, if you have an ATV or UTV, farm use
mm-hmm.
on a public roadway, are you required to have both the slow-moving emblem and the 9-foot orange flagpole, or just one or the other?
Well, it's 8-foot.
Or 8-foot. So sorry, Jimmy.
Well, let's talk about that. The slow-moving emblem is this: the vehicle that you're driving does not exceed the speed limit of 25.
Okay.
So if you have a Kawasaki mule, trust mm-hmm. me, they'll go over 25.
So you don't need that.
So you really don't need that. But you would, by law, you will need the pole okay. and the flag.
8-foot orange flag.
Yeah.
Okay. So there we go. So you only need the flag. You don't need yeah. the slow moving.
Unless you operating something that is not exceeding 25 miles.
Unless you have like a golf cart.
I'll give you
cart.
An example. I see it all the time. This time of year, you'll see people rent, I don't know what's in them, fertilizer trailers or whatever they are. Mm-hmm. They have slow moving minimums painted on the back or whatever. Typically, but farmers are pulling them down the road 55, 60 miles an hour. So they're really, I don't know why that they're on there, because they're actually in violation of slow movement in them. So if you're, the maximum speed does not exceed 25 miles an hour when you're on the roadway, that's when you are required to have the slow movement.
So if you have the emblem and you're doing 30 miles an hour, you can get a ticket.
Well, you can get stopped because it's actually in violation of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
A lot of people don't know this. There is a section in the law that says you can't use slow moving emblems as a road marker. You ever see that? People's driveway and stuff like that. They're trying to see mm-hmm. their driveway. They'll nail them up. There's actually a section in the law that says you can't do that.
Really?
Now, how often does that get enforced?
Hardly
remember
ever.
That thing I said something about common sense a minute ago?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things going on, but it's not caused a wreck yet.
Yeah, but
I can show you.
It does make probable cause.
If you
though,
call
right?
my hand, I can show you.
Okay. Got another phone call here. Good morning, Safety Talk.
Good morning. Got a good question.
I'm
going to dig it back in. from the horse to the horse's carriage, the bicycle riders.
Okay.
What can we do about those? Here on 1155, you got bicycle riders, and when they get going towards Washington, they did some construction in that highway. 1155 is extra narrow. Don't have a shoulder to ride on. So you hop over the hill, it's foggy like the other morning, and there was about 10 bicycle riders there. Mm-hmm. And you don't have room if you're meeting another vehicle.
Yeah, because they're not riding single file. They're riding two abreast and stuff like that sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. So whose order is it to put up a sign that says caution bicycle riders?
I'm going to go try to address it by law here. Law states if you operate a bicycle on the roadway, you ride as close as edgeable to the edge of the roadway, okay, if you're not doing the speed limit. And if you're riding a bicycle, nighttime, whatever, you can, you got to have a white light, or you got to have a red light in the back, or a red reflector. Somebody's radio is on or something. But, as far as a sign, you don't have to post a sign. You just have to obey what the law says. You know, a lot of things you also see, even kids running through neighborhoods and stuff run right through a stop sign. Technically, by law, you're required to stop a bicycle at a stop sign. Another thing that doesn't get a force. I'm just saying.
Oh, but, no, no. When I was a kid, they let me know about that when I was a kid.
but if you ever have an accident, whatever, mm-hmm. that's when it's really going to come into play because you're going to have to apply what the law says. But so the bicycles are required, if they're not doing the speed limit, to ride as close to the practical to the edge of the roadways they possibly can and not obstruct traffic. That guy that's riding inside that's not doing that, then he would typically be in violation at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I look at, I see signs as caution deers. You know, we got a certain time of year the deers get plentiful, but they subject to hop across the highway anyway. Well, that's the same way it is here on 1155.
Mm-hmm.
You got bicycle riders, and on the weekend, man, you're talking about a parade.
Right.
Weather's bad, so is it anything that the state can do about making it so motorists will know I'm subject to ride up on a bicycle ride?
And is this a certain part of the year, or is this year-round?
It's year-round, but it is more prevalent during the spring and summer, whenever mm-hmm. it's nice weather. You get out there, and they're everywhere.
I think this probably is a TxDOT question. To see what they could or couldn't do, it's not sound like a law enforcement. It sounds like more of a roadway, or is this a type of road that maybe sometime in the future they need the shoulder on it or whatever? Could use a shoulder. And a lot of this is based on traffic, accidents, and all that stuff. So I would say, as far as law enforcement, I've kind of applied the law here. But far as, putting signs and stuff, that would be something that TxDOT would have to address, and what would be in their limits, their scope, that they can actually put something out.
Yeah, and, in the past, bicycle riders have been involved in an accident where it's been death either to a bicycle rider or a pedestrian here. Now, we'll say another person.
I've seen this. You know these signs that get folded down during rain that says watch for flooding and stuff like that, or watch for ice on roadways? A lot of times when they flip them up, they've got them where now it says watch out for bicyclists and stuff like that. So that's a possibility. I don't know what kind of signage is out on this road or whatever. TxDOT may have something that they can do as far as signage, if that's what you're looking for. But, that would have to come from them.
Yeah, well, they did new construction on that road right there, and they sort of narrowed the shoulder where you really can't hardly leave, without going into the slope of a ditch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Is there an alternate road that makes better sense to be on? I mean, are we having accidents or people getting hit or...
Yeah, well, they like 1155. They go from Chapel Hill to Washington.
Right.
Miles.
Right. I don't tell you. I'm just on that. First, on the legal part, they need to be edge of the roadway if they're not doing the speed limit. Nighttime, they got to have the lights. Number two, when talking about signage and all that, again, that would just have to come for what TxDOT can and cannot do. That would be up to them.
Yeah, well, you know, I look at it more as a safety issue, actually, for the bicycle riders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then because driving a vehicle, you're going to run up on them sooner or later, and you're going to be cautious, you know, to pull over to let them by or something like that. But it's just a hazard to run up on 10 or 12 bicycle riders, or even one bicycle rider when it's foggy.
Right.
Go over a hill, up a hill.
Right. I've seen at times that some of these big groups like that, they'll have somebody back in a motor vehicle, maybe with some flashers on, letting people know their caution ahead or whatever. You know, you're talking about Noah's shoulder and stuff like that. You're talking about then obstructing roadway and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't know what the best answer on that one is. It's just if that's something they want to use, I know people want to work with each other and make sure it's safe. I don't think nobody's intentionally trying to ride, run over somebody on a bicycle. But I think bicyclists need to use common sense of what roads they're on and make sure they obey what laws apply to them. And that's been, if they're not doing the speed limit, they need to be as close as possible to the edge of the roadway to allow traffic to go by.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you go. Appreciate your information. I would much rather get behind horse-driven carriages than to get behind these bicycle riders because, you know, you can spot them, and they usually have flag people on their rear end.
Right. Well, I'm sorry. Sometimes I just didn't really have quite the answer you're looking for. But, again, visit with your TxDOT and see if they can do for you. If not, I would say contact your local law enforcement, your sheriff's department, and see if there's something they can do. If it turns out to be some type of hazard out there, maybe they have some suggestions that I'm not thinking of today. But thank you for your call.
Okay, well, at least I got the information out there. Thank you for listening to it.
I sure will.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't have problems listening.
That's easy. Easy part.
Hey, Craig, it's been fun. I try won't make it so long next time before I come see you again.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering if we were going to see you again.
But, hey.
I thought maybe I did something.
But they had a lot of good questions today.
They did.
It kept me hopping. So.
They really did. We appreciate you. And congratulations to Joanne Drain this morning.
Yeah.
New. Our trivia question today. She went to Country Boy Sausage, Country Boy Bakery.
Yeah.
And we'll see you again.
And I want to thank them for sponsoring the program today. I know they listened to me,
mm-hmm.
And I do know people have been turning these things in because they told me that today. So
good.
They're not getting wasted.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah.
Even better. So we thank you. If somebody needs to get a hold of you, get in contact with you, if they have a question, they can do that by...
Call you.
No. The easiest way is to call me.
979-776-3147 or jimmy.morgan@dps.texas.gov.
Yeah, or just send it to me and we'll take care of it. Either call me or email me and we'll send it, we'll forward it on to him and get it taken care of.
Thank you.
Thank you for, appreciate you.
Sure.
Again.
Absolutely.
It's been Safety Talk on KWH Chike. We're on Jimmy Morgan. He'll be back in another couple weeks. Not another month, a couple weeks, and then we'll see him again here on KWHI. And Brenham, yes?
Save your questions.
Save the questions. There you go. All right, we'll see you next time on KWHI and Brenham.
I'm the Highway Patrol. My hours are long and my pay is low, but I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the Highway Patrol. I'm just a doing my job.